You know, church family, take a moment here to kind of lead into prayer just real quickly. I was thinking just in worship a moment ago and earlier about the word that was preached this morning. You know, echo was a part of it. But also the emphasis on the word of faith and authority. Authority is something you ponder and meditate on and you grow in. You grow in your understanding of it. It's distinct from physical power. You know, we've talked about it in the past in the Greeks, two separate words oftentimes. Dunamis means physical power, supernatural power. Exousia means authority, spiritual authority. What Pastor Andre preached to us this morning is not some type of magical potion. This is not some type of make-believe. This is in the Genesis, when God put man on the earth and placed Adam in the place of his dominion, his authority in the garden. He gave him. I think a couple of things that just want to drop in your heart to lead into prayer here, just very quickly. I think it's important to know that there is an authority that God's given each one of us, but there's a place of authority. And you have to understand that, because if you try to go into the place that God's not placed you and exercise authority, you're going to be disappointed. But if you know that this is where God's placed me, this is where my place of dominion is, then you can exercise authority and you can have the days of heaven on earth. That's why God took Abram and said, wherever your feet trod, that's your place of dominion. You know, even Jesus, for a moment of time, think of this. When Jairus' daughter was dying and even had died, when he went in to raise her from the dead, he brought two people with him. He brought three of his disciples, but he brought the mother and father. And I've always believed that he brought the mother and father because it was their house and they were in authority. And he would align his heart of faith with that realm of authority. He would not just come in and perform the miracle if the people that were in authority were not wanting God to do something in their house. So Jesus, when he was a child, had gone to the temple. And in the temple, his mother and father, you remember when he was 12, came searching for him. And he said, did you not know that I would be in my father's house? So something's happening inside him early. He's discerning something. Well, there are two passages of scripture that tell us about two important things that happened later in the life of Jesus with the cleansing of the temple. John records one, an early cleansing of the temple. And in that cleansing of the temple, he said this as he overthrew the money changers and cast out, you know, let go of the doves and drove out the sheep. He said, this is my father's house. But something was shifting in him, something inside him. He didn't say it's my house. He said it's my father's house, but something's not right. Maybe the echo. Maybe he knew God had done something and he was there in that place. But if you'll see the second cleansing of the temple, something had come full circle inside of him. And when he cleansed the temple the second time, 3 years later, he said, get these things out because this is my house. Come on now. He said, this is my house. And when you understand that you're in the place of the dominion that God's given you and God's given you authority, you've got to exercise it. You got to have the confidence, and that's why a life can be changed. I say things like this all the time to you, you know, and I learn new words or I'll say words that I don't use that often because it's not within the scope of my vocabulary. But a couple of weeks ago, I kept referencing trajectory. And I said, the trajectory of your family, the trajectory of your family, the direction of your family, the echo of your family, if you will not change until somebody stands in authority and says, God's given me dominion and power and grace. We'll give no place to the devil. We'll walk in love. We'll have the favor of God upon us. Come on, someone. We'll trust a living God for his grace to work in our heart and life. And when you begin to walk in that, I do believe this, everything will change around you. So Father God, today, I thank you for this privileged opportunity to worship. I thank you for the men and women that have come to this house. I thank you that in this place, God, you've given, there's a measure of your authority that's released to us. And God, there's a measure of your authority that's released in us, God, in this house. And God, I'm going to pray, Father, that what you began this morning, God, you're going to continue to shape it. I just believe it's not finished yet. I've heard too many people tonight say how impacting the message was this morning in their heart and life. And God, I believe you're going to continue to shape it and form it. You're etching it in their heart. They're learning these things, God. I just can, in my mind, Father, the scribes and the Pharisees, when Jesus overthrew the money changers' tables, they came to them and said, "By whose authority have you done these things?" They wanted to know where the source of that was. And I can imagine, the Bible doesn't record that he said it this time, he said it previously, but he had said previously, "Before Abraham was, I am." So I can only imagine, again, Jesus said, "This is my Father's house," but he said, "This is my house. And there's authority and dominion committed unto me." God, I pray, Father, as the pastor of this assembly, as the shepherd of this house, God, I pray, Father, the Spirit of God is welcome in this place tonight. God, to do whatever you want to do. You want to turn the money changers' table over, turn it over. God, you want to shake things up in here, shake things up in here, God. Father, in this house tonight, just have your way. God, deep inside my own soul, the things that, Father, are not pleasing to you, God, I pray, Father, there can be a turnover within my own heart tonight, God. Father, for the glory of the living God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit tonight, God. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, amen. We're going to stay in a spirit of worship, and we're going to receive an offering tonight for Pastor Andre. Let me just go ahead and tell you about this real quickly. I tell you every year, and I'm going to go ahead and just repeat it again tonight. We write one check at the end of three services, and we give to Brother Andre to extend in his life what God is doing. Brother Andre is slowing down in ministry. He has 45 more meetings between now and the end of the year. Or 40-something. Slowing down. He's going to get on an airplane and get off 85 times between now and the end of the year. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, Sherry and I went to the conference, and we were out of our own house for a couple of nights. And with the Destiny Conference, those were very nice hotels. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like home. I mean, you can't sleep in that hotel bed. And I couldn't sleep on the couch. I might as well just walk the floor, you know, out in the hallway and freaked everybody out. The point I'm saying is, these ministers and these men of God that God's placed, that he sent to the local church, he sent to the local church in apostolic calling and gifting. I know it may not be the same as when Paul said, "Five times from the Jews I received 39 stripes." But I'm telling you, it is a sacrifice to do what they do. It is. To get in that car and that airplane and to go around the world. We were talking en route coming to the church tonight, and Pastor Andre said several years ago, he said, "I looked at my calendar one time when he was traveling overseas," and he said, "I had 92 meetings scheduled in 90 days in five different countries," I think it was. So obviously they were having multiple meetings a day, and sometimes one just right. I'm saying all that to say, let's do our part. Come on, let's do our part. We'll go with him in spirit. We'll go with him in spirit as through our giving tonight. So, Father, I love you. And I know I've prayed once previously, but I pray again, God, thank you for the faithfulness of this church family. Father, after 23 years, I stand amazed at the generosity of our church family. I stand amazed at how they love the church. They love the kingdom. They want to extend the kingdom. They want to see the kingdom grow in the hearts and lives of men and women. And most of us, Father, will never trod the path that Pastor Andre has trod, but we can assist him on his journey. So God, I thank you. Help each of us to give, God, even to give sacrificially. So we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's children said amen and amen. Church family, there is a black basket on the front. I'm going to encourage you, if you can, to bring your offering down to the front. And then let's take the next few minutes, go around, greet one another, and we'll let Pastor Andre have his liberty in the Lord's house tonight. Amen.
All right. We hate to interrupt that sweet sound of fellowship, as we say often, but we are excited to get to the Word. Brother Andre is always such a blessing to our church family. If you were here this morning, it was a powerful word and declaration over this assembly, and we are coming into agreement with it. Amen. Amen. And so I'm excited to hear the word tonight. I'm excited to see him minister personally to you in the house tonight. And so let's stand to our feet and let's welcome Pastor Andre to the platform to minister the word as he would see fit tonight.
Bless you. Thank you. Lord, you may be seated. Thank you. Praise the Lord. How many of you were here this morning? Looks like everybody, almost everybody. What a great time we've had in the presence of the Lord. I said to Pastor on our way to the church tonight, I said sometimes when you release the Word of God, you feel like suddenly the word you just spoke turned into seven directions. Because it's almost like he multiplies it out of your mouth. This is his word. This is his bread. And when you talk to seven different people, they receive seven different things. They heard seven different things. They all hear what we all heard, and then they will come and say, but I heard this as well. It's the Holy Spirit. He's multiplying the bread, and he covers every need with one moment. Amen. Again, it's great to be here. This church has a special place in my heart. I don't know why. I don't drink your water and I don't eat your fish here, but your pastor is brilliant. I just love the way that his insight into the Word is very rich. You know, somebody opens his mouth, you can quickly tell whether there's substance behind what he's saying. And you are very blessed to have such a couple. Enjoy them as long as you have them. I hope you have them forever. And church, let us not underestimate our times together, because this is my 14th year in this church since 2011, and one can almost not believe that I've been here 14 years, once a year, and it's because it's a fulfillment of prophecy for me to be in America, but I'm also aware of the fact that we are in the final stretch. So let us use every moment and take note of what the Holy Spirit is saying. I want you to turn with me tonight to Luke chapter 10. And I want to read a few verses that you've definitely heard before. And it has something to do with the Good Samaritan. And then I will just try and say a few things. I would prefer not to preach as long as this morning and go a little bit shorter, or much shorter. I want to pray for people. But, you know, normally when I say things like that, it never happens. I always do the opposite. I don't even announce anymore what I'm going to preach about tomorrow, because it never happens. So I think I'm going to just wait until the last moment the Holy Spirit speaks. But here in Luke 10, verse 31, it says, now by chance, or let me read verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, and leaving him half dead. And verse 31 says, now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Sad. And likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, at the right place, right address, he did look, he did observe, and he passed by the other side. But then a certain Samaritan, no title, just a certain Samaritan, no name, no last name, no identity, just a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Oh, my goodness. Can it be that the Levite and the priest had no compassion? Because this unknown person, and I have three titles for this thing, because when I look at this, I said, Holy Spirit, help me. When I say Good Samaritan, everybody's going to think I'm going to call it the Good Samaritan. Well, Pastor Andre, you must call this the Good Samaritan. I'm still not sure. I have three other titles for it. But we'll get to that later. A Good Samaritan journeyed, and he came, and he had compassion, and he went, and he went down to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and he said to him, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come back, I will repay you. So here we have a very, very familiar portion of Scripture, and we have Jesus here. He's involved. He's telling the story. We have a Good Samaritan here. We have a Levite. We have a priest. So we have all these people here, and then The worst of it all is it started in verse 25 with an attorney. Oh my goodness. So there's an attorney involved as well. And that's never good, amen. So we have all these people involved here, and maybe I should call this the ministry of the unknown. Well, maybe we should call it the Good Samaritan. Or maybe we should call it the other side. Don't pass the other side. What shall we call this? I looked at this, you know, and I've learned something. That's what they told me. In South Africa, when you appraise a diamond, you look at a diamond from different angles in order to really determine the value of that diamond. And then one day I was in a shop. This guy was in America, and he just taught me, just spoke with me about how they appraise diamonds. And we went into a jewelry shop, and we looked at diamonds, and we spoke in Afrikaans, which is my home language, and we looked at a certain diamond, and he said, "Pastor, I just want to show you, this was actually a very good stone, but the cut is not good. And by not cutting this thing right, they actually, the appraisal value of the diamond is lower." Well, I didn't understand what he was referring to, but he was just speaking a language. And when I look at the Word of God, sometimes it's like a diamond. And you look at the Good Samaritan, and you look at the Levite and the priest, and you look at different aspects of this, and you say, "Well, Lord, what is it that I don't see that I should see?" And the Lord said to me, "Bandages, oil, and wine." And then the Holy Spirit started to talk to me, and he said to me, "The Good Samaritan is not good without the bandages, the oil, and the wine. That's what made him the Good Samaritan. You are not just good because you're nice. It's your bandages, your oil, and your wine." And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me about so many things. And so let us just go back to the attorney and get him out of the way, because it's not good. It says there, and verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him." Isn't that amazing that they always test you? So now they test Jesus here and saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" It's almost like he wants to deserve it. And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law?" And he answered and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your, all your strength, with your whole mind, your and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered rightly." Oh, of course an attorney will answer correctly. But he wanting to justify himself. And then Jesus said, he said to Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus answered him and he told him the story. And church, when you look at this whole chapter about the Good Samaritan, and I've preached about it so many times. We've heard so many preaching about the Good Samaritan. I think the Billy Graham Foundation is called the Samaritan Purse. It is so well known. But the first thing that struck me is that the Levite and the priest who has the titles passed the other side. And then the Lord said to me, "Son, you must be very careful that you are not a mighty man of God, but you pass by the other side." And then the Lord started to talk to me about my own ministry, and the Lord said to me, "Isn't it sad that those that we expect to do what they should do actually leave us stunned that they pass the other side?" And then the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, "Son, without the bandages, the oil, and the wine, the purpose of this whole chapter just disappear." And that's why I came to you tonight, and I want this night to be a night of the bow. You say, "Well, the Good Samaritan bowed down." Yes, he did. But then he served bandages, oil, and wine. And if the church loses her Baal and not serving Baal, come on, bandages, oil, and wine, we lose the purpose of being church. And then the Lord said to me, son, every time you preach, make sure they notice your bandages, oil, and wine. Even when you prophesy, make sure that in your prophecies, it's not just a clinical prophecy or just a clinical sermon or just another nice sermon that is being orchestrated and presented 100% correctly, and you will pass your theological tests when you preach your sermon, and in the meantime, your sermon has no bandages, oil, and wine. Now, Jesus is telling the story. Jesus is actually saying that without the bowel, bandages, oil, and wine, we miss the mark. And I come to you tonight, and I'm not here to impress you with a sermon, because my sermon without bandages is not good. It's not acceptable. My sermon without oil is not good. The wine is to cleanse the wound. And because Jesus said there's a man in the street, and what he's actually saying is, my church should be a church of bandages, oil, and wine. And so when I come to you tonight, I need to alert you that the pulpit hurts. You say, well, how does the pulpit hurt? Do you know that many times behind the scenes, I am serving bandages, oil, and wine to ministers in the ministry? Just recently, I was in a church where the man of God in the pulpit probably need God more than anybody in his church. His family needs God more than anybody in this church, but nobody really knows what's the real need, but I knew. And when I flew there, I knew I'm on this plane to go and put bandages, oil, and wine on the men of God. And I hope tonight that God will get to your wounds and what hurts, and that God will touch people tonight. Because many times, and especially in this modern day, you know, we have church where there's no altar calls. And it's big mega churches, there's no altar call. And I say, Lord, a church without an altar call is a church without bandages, oil, and wine. And this story, it just gripped my heart when I looked at this. And it says, and a certain Samaritan journeyed, and he had compassion. Now, the word compassion, you know, I'm 45 years in ministry, and I'm not going to impress you with a sermon, because it's not really a sermon. I'm just coming to you tonight with my bandages, oil, and wine, because if I don't have that, I don't qualify to be in the pulpit. If I don't present to you the bow, I should not be in this pulpit. So I sometimes ask myself hard questions. Am I really in what I'm doing for the right reason, or am I one of those that will just get through the moment and pass by? Can I be very straight straight with you? You know, I can come into this because I've seen it all, church. I've seen it all. I've been all over the world. And I can so easily come in here and say, man, I just hope they give me a good offering tonight, and then I want to get out of here. What a shame. What a shame. When I'm a man without bandages, oil, and wine, but I have the title. They call me Levite, they call me priest, they call me prophet, they call me, you can call me whatever you want to call me. But if you don't notice that I have bandages, oil, and wine, stay away from me. Because Jesus is telling the story. And Jesus is putting the emphasis on an unknown Samaritan. And the Bible says, so he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his animal. Oh, If you look real close, I brought my animal. Come on. You know, once you've done what you had to do, what is that extra thing you will do to not just treat him in the street where he is, but get him to a place? Come on. God is here to get you to the place of safety. He's here to put you on his animal, and I should have an animal, so I should have the bow, bandages, oil, and wine, and then I should have an animal. You say, oh, Pastor Andre, we've never heard this thing ever before. I want to call my sermon Bandages, Oil, and Wine. Again, I said it right in the beginning. Because without the bow, the Good Samaritan is not good. What makes him so good is the bandages, the oil, and the wine. And oh, I grew up in Pentecost, and I've seen pastors. I grew up under the best you can ever see. I remember that generation, and I can honestly say, when I always think back, I can honestly say I saw their bandages, oil, and wine. Not literally, but I can feel it when they speak. I can sense it when they communicate. I even on a one-to-one basis, I can say, my pastor is a man that carries with him the bow. Amen? Not only the bow of the knee, but then what you serve. And then he said to him, he took him to the inn, and what did he say to the man? He said to the owner of the inn, he says, take care of him. Care is not care without the bow. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper. Now watch what he does. And he said to him, take care of him. Wow, this man is all about care. I have a question. This Good Samaritan carried bandages, oil, and wine with him prophetically for what's coming. It's almost like he expected, I need to have that on me. Come on, church. Isn't that amazing? Why will somebody carry bandages on a wine? For what reason? The Levite did not carry it. The priest did not carry it. And that is a question the Holy Spirit is asking me. How many times have you gone into the pulpit and you're the man of God, but you carry nothing with you? And when you go back to the hotel room, you say you had a great meeting. In the meantime, you never showed the people your bandages, oil, and wine. Am I talking to somebody? Because you know what? We should have it. All of us should walk with that every day. It should not be literal bandages, but our language, our voice, the way we speak, the voice, the tone of our voice, our body language, whatever we do should reveal we carry bandages, oil, and wine. And then he said to the innkeeper, he says, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. When you look at the 3 options here, 66%, 2 out of the 3 failed. You know, I'm 45 years in ministry, and it's all the grace of God. It's not my goodness. It's just the grace of God. Pastor summarized it, and I never talk about it, but I am tired. My wife said she's married to a tired man. Well, that's not good, because normally it's the woman that's tired, but in this case, I'm the one that's tired. But you know what? There's something that still spur me on. Can I be honest with you? I don't want to fly another flight, honestly. I'm not in the mood of flying. I have 85 flights this year. But when I read the Bible and I look at this chapter, And the Lord said, come on, look at this like you look at a diamond. Appraise this chapter. And the Lord said, it's not the Good Samaritan. It's not the title they should have given it over the years. Because the Good Samaritan is not good without bandages, oil, and wine. Because without the bandages, oil, and wine, he's just another Levite. And may the Lord help us, and may the Lord help this great church. What a great attendance to be people that will carry those three things in this region, because the people hurts. People are hurting. People are going through difficult times. And we need to have this on us. And when I came to this meeting tonight, I said, Lord, I made a few notes here. And I said, Jesus, we have this incredible morning. Can I not just extend and just keep on talking about authority, power, and the echo? And the Lord says, yeah, you can if you want to. I'll give you more. But the Lord says, I want you to take bandages with you, oil and wine, and help those. And help those that say, well, I don't really operate in authority at the moment. I'm so weak. I'm so hurt. I'm so behind in life. I feel like I need something else. I need somebody to just stop by. Come on. When that man was on the floor wounded, He was a dying man, and if you could talk to him, and if you could ask him, sir, what is your one desire? I notice you're on the floor here. I notice some people hurt you. I notice you are bleeding, and you're not looking good. What is your one desire? I think he will say, I saw a Levite, but he didn't stop. I saw a priest. He didn't stop. If I can just get somebody that'll just stop. And then, sir, a few days later, maybe in the inn, sir, so what happened? How did you land up in the inn? Well, an unknown, unfamiliar, unexpected miracle happened. Well, what was the miracle? Well, it was a good Samaritan. A Samaritan? A Samaritan? Did he stop? Yeah, he stopped. And was it not for him? You know, he bowed down to me, but then he served me bandages, oil, and wine. And you say, well, Pastor Andre, this is not such a good sermon. Well, Jesus is telling the story. Well, this is not that impressive. Well, why will he tell the story? You say, well, this is not real. Well, it's not my story. I'm not telling the story. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is telling the story. And he's saying to that attorney, go and do likewise. Wow. Go and do likewise? Yes. And what God is saying to us, go and do likewise. But what God is saying to me, go and do likewise. Can I be honest with you, church? I'm 73 next month, and I'm 45 years on this journey, and I have a strategy for the next 2 years, and I'm not sure what's going to happen after that. But my greatest desire is when it's all over that you will not call me a Levite or a priest or doctor or bishop or because what on the earth is that worth if I've journeyed for 45 years without bandages, oil, and wine? Because when I stand before God one day, he's not going to ask me, how many doctorates do you have? He's not going to ask me that. He's going to ask me, When you read that chapter about the Good Samaritan, what stood out for you? Well, God, the Good Samaritan. Then God will say, no, sir. Nobody is good until they serve bandages, oil, and wine. That's why the Bible calls him the Good Samaritan. Because it's what he carried with him that made him good. And my desire personally is, Lord, help me that I will serve your people. I this year was very intense, and I had altar calls that lasted for 3 hours. And I'll be honest with you, when I go into my hotel room, I'm tired to the bone. I'm tired. I am worn out, tired. It pains. But you know what? When I hear the telephone ring and I talk to the pastor the next day and he say, you will not believe me what happened with that person, and you will not believe me what happened there, and you will not believe me what I just heard, and you will not believe me. And then I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember many, many years ago, I was in a church down south, and I prophesied, and I was very tired that night, and I said, Lord, and I was just talking like now, and I said, Lord Jesus, can I go to my hotel room, and I'm tired, Lord. I had so many meetings, and I had a blister on my tongue, and the Lord says, no, that one woman on your left-hand side. And I said, okay, God. And I went down there, and I started to prophesy. And I had no idea who she is. And then as I prophesied, I saw a picture. And I started to prophesy a scandal that happened. And I don't want to go into the detail. And the more I prophesied, the more I realized the whole church is now bowing down. And they are between the pews and they're calling out to the Lord. And then I realized that if there was one person in that room, her husband landed up in a scandal of some sort, great people, professional people. But that night, that prophecy was bandages, oil, and wine, and it rescued her, it rescued her children, it rescued her husband, it rescued an entire church. And the pastor said to me, come, let's go. And we jump into the car, and he says, let me take you to the hotel. And he said, Andre, I need to tell you the other side of that coin. He said, you have no idea who you spoke to. And he told me there was a black man that stood there next to her. And when I said, who is this woman? He turned back. His eyes was red, bloody red of weeping. He was a professor. And he said, prophesy, man of God. You have no idea who you're talking to. I said, of course. And when we went to the hotel, the pastor told me. And I said, oh, my goodness. And I said, what a night. I could have left that meeting. I could have gone home, and I could have, and maybe I preached well that I don't know. But till this day, I remember that night, God said, she doesn't need another sermon. She needs bandages, oil, and wine. I was in another meeting many years ago in White Bank in South Africa. Something similar happened. There was a woman, and she sat next to the pastor's wife, and she was married to a businessman in the city, and they came against the pastor. Long story short, I ministered to her. She was on the floor. She cried uncontrollably. Everybody knew about her. Everybody knew about her husband. Everybody knew about their business. And there's a lot of other things that I prophesied. And the next night, that church was doubled up with people that came because of that one prophecy. But what happened that night? She was on the floor weeping uncontrollably. What happened? God gave her bandages, oil, and wine. I remember another woman, she came into the meeting. She was a Methodist, and she came from Houston Hospital, and the doctor said to her, you have more than one type of cancer in your body. There's no hope for you. You're going to die. Go back and have fellowship with your grandkids and your kids. And that night she came on a Sunday night, and she came onto the platform with a black dress. And she told the people, this is my funeral. I'm dying. I didn't know her from Adam, and I was on the platform, and I said, man, the Lord shows me the spirit of death is upon you, but you're not going to die. And that night God healed her. Miraculously. Church. Bandages all in wine. It's all that the people need. And I hope that tonight God is going to put some bandages all in wine on you. Because it's very simple. It's when I look at this chapter in the future, I will never call it the Good Samaritan again. Because if I take the bandages out, the oil out, the wine out, even the Good Samaritan, although he did not go the other side, he passed by closer, but he did not serve what the man was waiting for. How many of you believe God has exactly what you need? God can supply exactly what you need. Can I get the keyboards and some good music behind me and just worship the Lord? Or if you want to do it from the soundboard, you are good. Come on, everybody. You said, Pastor Andre, it's probably the most boring sermon you've ever preached. Be careful. It's not my story. You say, well, it is so simple. Well, don't blame me for Jesus the Creator telling such simple stories. That's what makes him so exceptional, that he can be so masterful, incredibly miraculous. When people have just basic needs, that's who he is. That's who he is. He's the God that can heal and deliver and set free. Many, many times in my travels, when I come across people, they will come and say, oh, Pastor Andre, that night this happened, and that night this happened, and that night this happened. And then I realized, God gave them bandages, oil, and wine, and I did not even know it. Can I tell you a shocking one? Especially in the context of the culture we're living in. Many, many years ago, it was in 1997, I will never forget. And I said to the Lord, just him and I said, Jesus, who shall I call out? What do you want? And he said to me this. He said, Andre, there is three. You know, Jesus is not afraid of our culture. He said to me this. He said, Andre, there is three ladies in the building that has a lesbian lifestyle. 1997, Victory Christian Center, Assemblies of God Church. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord says, call them out. I said, Jesus, nobody calls people out like that. I called them out. The first one came and she fell down. Second one came and she tried to resist the elders. Power of God came over her, touched her. Third one came out. And I remember I said to the church, I said, don't judge. I said, because I did not say bandages all in wine, but I said, don't judge, because the great Samaritan from heaven and earth, he's in control. And the third one came and she stood next to me on the platform, and she just stood there, and I just looked at her and I just said, Lord, thank you. There she is. And the next moment she started to make moves I've never seen a woman can make in the church. And I knew something's happening now. God is setting her free. And God set her free. And many, many years later, I was back in that church on a Saturday morning. I was doing teaching. And I was telling this story. I said, do you remember many years ago in the revival that one night this happened? And after that morning teaching, here comes a woman to me. She said, Pastor Andre, my name is so-and-so. Do you remember me? I said, I have no idea who you are. She said, I was that woman who stood next to you on the platform that night. The place was packed. People were sitting in the foyer, balconies packed, because we had incredible revivals. She says, that night God set me free from that lifestyle. I'm married today. I have 3 children, and I'm the head of prayer and intercession in the city. We need to stop by even those kind of lifestyles and say, God can change it. Come on. Come on, church. I remember that same revival. The Lord said to me, call out all the men that has pornography, that has dirty minds. I called them out. I had about 36 men behind me. And I said to the whole conference, I said, don't judge. You want revival. This is what it looks like. And I turned to the left-hand side, and there was a man with a long gray beard. And I said to him, sir, the Lord shows me you have pornography in your house. And he went like this. He says, yes, sir. That night, I cannot explain to you what happened. Because the more intense the things were that I called out, the stronger the anointing came into the building. God delivered people at a rate, at a pace that we could not even keep track record of what happened. And all I'm saying to you tonight, just open your hearts for bandages, oil, and wine. That man, I believe I'm going to see him in heaven one day. And I want to ask him, what does it feel like to be on the floor and everybody pass by? And what does it feel like when a stranger comes and he says, I'll take care of you. I'll take you to the inn, I'll put you on my animal, and I will pay the bill. And when I come back, I will pay the rest of the bill. That's the kind of night Jesus wants to give us tonight. I hope you love this. If you do not like this, go and listen to this morning's sermon again. Maybe you will like that better. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, church. Let us just worship the Lord and just enjoy His presence.